want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. Geocache, and if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 424, recorded live on October 28th, 2015. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Scott Burks,
Steven Zad Infinitum, and
You can join our chat room or watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE, and also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com, go find it. All right, we got a full crew.
Hello.
Hello, we don't have people getting up sick or doing strange things. That's well, I won't say that because that's just normal.
What strange things must you be talking about?
Oh, I don't know. This, that, there. It's Halloween-y time.
So it is Halloween.
It is time for spooks and spirits, which just means, you know, I like the spirits of the liquid nature, so I just think that is a grand old time. And if it means handing out bags of candy to the 12 kids that will show up at my doorstep this Halloween, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yep, good stuff. All right, good stuff normally, except all last week. Matter of fact, I actually had to cancel the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast last week because I don't know if it was sinusitis or some other itis or just whatever, but I was sick all week. And
Your sinuses were sick?
Something was sick because I was not well. I was really not feeling good and just basically laid in bed for several days. So that was no fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clearing up a little bit. I got just a little bit of, you know, nasalist to me, but we'll hopefully make it through the show. And go there.
You were actually like laid up in bed sick?
Yeah. I mean, I was I didn't have a major fever, but I was just super ache. If I hadn't been geocaching beforehand, I almost would have thought of having a check for like Lyme disease or something like that.
Really?
You get drained, everything aches, you can't move, it just feels terrible.
Have you had a tick on you? Not in the places you can see.
Spoon.
Check everywhere.
Well, you never know.
Amy needs to check.
There's some crevices that some places you just don't want to go, and I don't want to bring that out to anybody because that's just wrong. I'll go with the other tick in the blue contest.
Been married long enough.
Amy, come here. Look at this.
Have you ever seen this before? Yeah. So that's how it goes. But literally, if I hadn't been geocaching enough to where I actually thought that I got a Lyme disease or something, I would have. But it cleared up after a couple of days, and things got better. But you know, no geocaching for me this week. I'm dying to go out because the weather is gorgeous. It has been in the mid-70s. The trees are finally turning fall. It's gorgeous out here. So I'm just saying. Scott, how about you?
Yeah, it's cold and rainy in Chicago town this week.
Go figure.
Had a great weekend, though. Had a great weekend. We went out all day Saturday. Got two FTFs, including one
Periscopes. Those were great.
Yeah, did you see the one with the FTF? We brute forced a 10-stage multi, which is really nice.
Yeah,
you
gotta explain that to me, how the heck that works, because I still can't figure out. I mean, if you're
we were contemplating how you did this.
Yes.
How I brute forced a 10-stage multi?
Yeah.
Well, what happened was it's a multi, and it's supposed to be a phenomenal multi, but it's just we didn't have a lot of time. We didn't have the day to go do a 10-stage multi, but we were picking up our coin for the DuPage. Remember Jesse a couple of months ago, me and Jesse went and did that that Geo Challenge for DuPage,
right,
the 2015 one. Well, we finally went back and got the coins today. Jesse finally had some time where we can go, so we drove out there and we went to an event. First of all, we went to an event to kick off the Creative Cash contest that Chicago has every year. And so we went to that event. Then we went, drove out to DuPage to go get our coin. In that preserve, there's one cash, and that's, well, there's more than one, but there's one cash we haven't gotten. That was that 10-stage multi. I'm like, I'm not leaving here without that 10-stage multi. And so I made a few calls, and somebody told me, I think it's near, like, stage five of stage four or five. It's near one of those stages. So if you can get to the, the guy had, what are they called? We have the red flags.
The tax?
Waypointed.
Waypoint. Thank you. It's near. They said it's near the fourth waypoint, one of the fourth or fifth waypoint. So we went to the fourth waypoint, and there was only, you know, maybe 0.2 of woods to search. So we knew roughly the general area of where to search. So gave it, you know, 15 minutes, turned on the periscope, and what, Cody found it in 10 minutes into the
periscope. Yeah, now this thing, like this was not like sticking out there with a flashing neon arrow scene. This was in a log in another host in the log.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wouldn't have found it if I actually just went to the thing knowing where it was.
Cody's really good at, if you tell him we're leaving, he finds the cash. If I go to Cody, we're leaving, he goes, wait, I found it. But we were literally walking out of the woods. That's what we were doing. When I turned the periscope on, we were walking out of the woods, admitting defeat, walking out.
Yeah.
And Cody kept looking. He kept, you know, he kept sniffing around, and eventually he came across it,
look at that large set of tree trunks over there. I'll check there.
And it's crazy. Yeah. And so we did that, and then we got two FTFs. We went and got one FTF, which Cody found again, that first one. And then we went that night and got another one.
Oh, yeah, the one under the rock, was it?
Yeah, no, it was a fake rock.
Yeah, a fake rock.
By the rock wall that we all checked. But it was like, it was so weathered in that, like, you know, it was like there was stuff over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So that is, it was a good day. I mean, saw some great creative caches. It was a good day. A little chilly, but it was a good caching day. We haven't had one of those in a while.
So yeah, that's awesome. I love days like that, but I don't think my score would have been as high as yours.
I know. What I got a 10-stage multi, two FTFs.
Oh,
I mean, a
man.
Bunch of creative caches.
One of these days, you really got to get involved in this thing and just kind of do some stuff. Jeez.
Yeah, it was a good day.
It was. Corey, I saw the temps of Montana. And it's a bit chilly where you're at.
Yeah, you know, it's been a bit chilly. You know, I've been outside and you know, water's already freezing over some mornings. Not every morning, but it's some mornings.
Huh? What's the weather there?
Well, there's a frozen zone over all the states surrounding Montana, and right smack in the middle of Montana. I know earlier this morning it was like in the 20s.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's 47 degrees.
Okay, so it must have...
Yeah, Chicago's in the mid-50s. You're not that much colder right now.
You know, but we're supposed to have snow. I mean, there's snow in the mountains already.
Oh,
you know,
God.
So
wow.
We're supposed to have snow maybe next week. So
well, someone's got to put the rest of the fires out. So
that'll solve the fire problem.
That'll take it down a little.
Oh. Yeah, it's raining, and it's, you know, raining all. I don't know if you can see that, but it's raining all next week or all this week. So
enjoy.
And then the last bit says possibly snow. So
I was going to say, welcome to Washington.
So what that basically says is God hates Montana.
No, loves it. It makes it all green and nice. And you know, I come from the desert, so I'm like, all right, I have water and vegetation.
Well, we still have to do something to beat last year, you going out and making a snow angel in the middle of the show. So we'll have to remember something creative this year.
Well, you know, if you guys really want to know, we're looking at a new place.
All right.
You're going to move again?
Which is a well, I'm renting now. I'm looking to buy a place.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And so it's actually up about, we're in Whitefish now. It's up towards Olney, which is another
15 miles north, which is in a snow belt. So it gets about double the snow that.
People move snow there?
That they do.
Land
down
must be
in the
so cheap. Land must be so cheap.
Turn left at the caribou. When you hit the igloo, you're there.
So, wow. we were out there last night.
We were out there last night, and he's showing me this tree, and this tree has got to be like an 8-9 foot tree. And he says, you know, if we get a good snow, that thing's going to be covered.
Wow.
And it, you know, it's going to be a mound.
Is it
and,
on you know, stilts?
Hopefully your kids. No, it's not. It's up high though. I mean, it's up on a you know it's up on a porch and all that. So
this is where you choose to live.
I can hear it now. And now a report from Corey.
The snow is really high. It's really, really high. I can't leave the house.
We have a caribou on our roof permanently. Wow.
And so you know what? We'll see how it goes, you know, because it's supposed to be kind of interesting. So, you know, as far as caching wise, I didn't do too much. I got a couple caches today. Nothing really spectacular, but I had to get out and do something. It wasn't spectacular enough to really do any periscopes about, but I got in on the nick of time after getting feeling better and just getting back into work. Just the nick of time to publish a GIF event. I don't know if any of you guys are doing a GIF event.
No, the, I wanted to do it, but
Dashing International Film Festival. Right. But the
planning on attending one, but not hosting.
Yeah, so I figured since my church is pretty, you know, it's got a nice theater, you know,
setup.
Your church has a theater?
Well, it's got. Sure, you know, it's got a theater set up with the projector screen and all that, and I can run the computer.
Your church has a projector screen?
Yeah. That's right. I'm sorry, I forget. Scott's Jewish. In Catholic churches, we automatically have multi.
Into the evangelical churches,
we automatically have projector screens. Yeah, large ones.
Jesus don't show movies during the
and other things in church. Yes,
that's where the scripture goes.
And now Blade Runner.
It's multitasking. On Thursdays, they alternate between movie night and bingo night. So that's what I'm just saying.
I'd go to church if they showed good movies. I mean, come on. Listen to 10 minutes of the I was gonna say the rabbi, but actually the priest. Listen to 10 minutes of the priest, and then be like, and now the Muppets,
and now the Notebook. Yeah. All right, Mr. Taz, how you doing? Yeah. How's the knee?
Oh, still give me fits. So went and saw a doctor yesterday, and going out for the MRI next.
Yay!
Oh, those are fun.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry,
one of the most annoying sounds in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Doing, doing.
No, you know, I those MRIs, there's no wonder why that you don't see something screwed up in your brain every time with that whole knocking and the it's awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
I had one.
Anything else that we could cheer him up with? By the way, as you lay there and bleed, you also have. All right, man. I hope you get better soon. Do they got any prognosis as far as when you're going to be able to get out and start being able to do stuff, or do you even have an idea yet?
When are you going to get that skirt taken off?
Here.
When?
But I'll get out, but not a lot of like hiking. So it does better some days than others.
All right. So depending on which prescription drugs that we can get you on, we'll get you out there one way or the other.
I can tell you the good ones.
No. Family show. I'm just saying. We're just going to wait on that. Anyway, so no, we hope you get better soon.
He is in California.
Oh, man, you just go in the backyard and pull. I'm just saying. It's like It's that ginger from. Never mind. Anyways,
well, I did want to sort of give a shout out to a friend of the show who sent me a new mic.
So all right.
He wanted to remain anonymous, but you know, he's a good friend of the show, and we certainly appreciate him.
Well, thank you so much. And any other contributions that you want, any of our viewers want to give to us besides the Patreon program, please send us stuff. We love you. No, that's honestly, this is a very generous and wonderful addition for us and for Chad. And now we can truly say that he no longer has any excuse for sounding like. No.
You know what? Maybe it's just his voice.
It could be. Could be. Or the cough syrup he's taking. One of the two, I'm just saying. But if you want any other suggestions, the main computer's kind of going in a little bit here, and feel free. We love donations of any kind. It's nice. But seriously, thank you so much. That is fantastic.
Yes, thank you.
All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community and what's coming up this week on GeoGearheads. I'm going to let Scott take this one because he actually subs on another show, and it's this one. So I'll let him talk about what's going on for episode 200 on GeoGearheads.
Oh, you make me go to the notes. Episode 200. I was so not ready for that. Road Caching, what is that, 5-6? Road Caching 7. Scott Perks and Jesse Brown, a.k.a. Shorty Nits, join us for the 200th episode. Talk about planning for their geocaching road trips.
Yes.
That's what we'll be talking about tomorrow.
That's awesome. You know, be sure to check out tomorrow on the GeoGearheads after you stop off at the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, where the show that we were doing last week before I got really, really sick, we're doing this week. So we're going to have Joshua, the geocaching blogger, discussing what he's been up to and all the different things that he's been doing with Periscope. So,
it's his birthday today.
And today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
For a guy who's 64, man, you're looking awesome. I'm just saying.
almost as old as Corey.
Almost. Yeah. So I'm just saying, good stuff.
Yeah. We had to take my granddaughter up my lap. My sciatic was acting up.
Your knee's starting to go. Sorry. Wow.
Thanks, Scott.
The arthritis is kicking in.
Oh, Corey with a grin.
The corn's a bust. Anyways, I'll leave that there. Awesome.
Adorbs.
She's sweet.
Adorbs. Oh, someone's screwing up. Is that Corey? It's Corey.
All right.
With the hot mic.
That's it. Mm-hmm. All right. So she's on. So if you hear. What's her name?
What's her name?
I don't think she's going to be able
if
to
she
say
she says
it.
Her name, I'm a freak.
Yeah.
It's what?
Kailani.
Ooh, pretty name.
Oh, pretty.
All right. So let's move on.
Don't let her eat the mic.
Yes. See, actually, this is good. I'm going to leave Corey on with Kailani because now I'm going to ask for money. Because that's kids and money go well. So I'm just saying.
We'll do it like an old, like, African.
Yes. African kids. You too can save to have Kailani talk on the show.
Kailani can go to college.
That's right.
Find her first geocache. You know, because I'm not even a premium member anymore.
Oh jeez, here we go.
Put that out.
Well, there goes. There goes that money.
You know, he's saving for a house. So.
That's it.
I have been.
Lord help me. So anyways, please consider becoming a patron because you can see why the list is growing longer and longer, why we need money. I'm just saying. So go to our website at geocachingpodcast.com, click on the patron graphic, send us a couple bucks each month. We would greatly appreciate it so Kailani can continue on her singing career. I'm just saying. So good stuff. All right. I think we are going to move on to the geocaching question of the day. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey, cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, have you ever found a geocache inside of a building? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that nearly all cachers have found one or more caches inside. Wow, so here's what we heard. Witsan74 on Twitter shared, yes, the British Library. Well, Fuzzy Dave shared, well, there's a nice multi in Baltimore, Inner Harbor, that ends in a small museum. Well, Brent on Facebook shared library cache, and the cache was in the hollow of a book. Oh, I found a few like that, too. Well, Marcus shared in libraries of four towns, very popular. I even own one. They're great for finding on a cold winter day. Well, Marcus, that's a great idea, and I'm sure there might be other things to do in a library as well. Well, Trixie shared libraries, visitor centers, and groundspeak headquarters. Can't forget that one, Trixie. Good call there. Well, Patricia shared, yes, in the vestibule of the Sedona, Arizona Police Department. A very clever cache. Oh, wow, that's pretty awesome. Well, Spencer also on Facebook shared, there are several caches that I found inside of a building. The one in downtown Salt Lake City, it's GCQF8F, is inside the convention center in the visitor center gift shop. Well, you know what, Spencer? I found that one, too. We attend the outdoor retailer winter and summer markets there at the adjacent Salt Palace, and it's a perfect cache to run into and check to see if there's any travel bugs that need to be moved along or for us to drop off some as well. Well, hey, as always, we really enjoyed hearing about inside geocaching. And you can, too, if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa, and we greatly do appreciate that. Yeah, I found several different geocaches, including in several libraries, matter of fact, when it comes to stuff like that. So they sure love doing things.
And I found a bar in Milwaukee. Milwaukee Safe House has got one in a bar.
a bar in Milwaukee.
Go figure.
Safe House.
There's it's an one in a bar in Shanghai. I wanted to do it, but the bar was closed when I tried.
Wait, the bar in Shanghai closed, really?
I know.
In Shanghai.
Wow. Shanghai,
it must have been 2 in the afternoon.
What time was it?
It was like you were out catching. 2 in the afternoon, and I had a flight to catch at 5.
Wow. The troubles we have as geocachers is insurmountable sometimes.
Yes.
Wow. So anyways, tonight's episode is episode 424, Trackables, Travelers, and Other Geocaching Game Pieces. And we've talked about this before on different episodes, but what I wanted to do, especially for our listeners and our viewers, in the show notes, we will have all the different definitions. And if you are, especially if you're newer to geocaching, there's so many different terms and so many different types of trackables and travelers and what have you that's out there. This will be kind of a good reference guide for you to go through and check out different definitions if you're interested. And all you have to do is go to geocachingpodcast.com and check out episode 424, and you'll be able to check this out. So tonight's kind of going back to the basics a little bit, and not necessarily going into the rants as much as it is just kind of describing the differences, because there are so many different game pieces now.
So no ranting.
You can do some ranting. There's you know this. Have you seen this show? I'm just saying. So any golden nuggets, tidbits, and rants, we'll do it. We'll just try to focus more on the definitions and add to it. Mm-hmm. So as far as, let's just start off with the simple stuff. The geocaching definition of a trackable. Mm-hmm. And basically what happens with any kind of trackable, it is a whole series of items that has attached to it in one frame or another. It has a geocaching or a trackable code that is associated to that particular item. And the item, once you attach the code to it, be it a geocoin, be it a travel bug, what have you, it instantly becomes a hitchhiker that is carried from cache to cache. And I think some of the terminology, I pulled a lot of this out of the old definitions from geocaching.com. Some of this stuff I think actually needs to be tidied up a little bit and redefined some, because there's so many different exaggeration now of different forms of trackables. So why don't we just start over some of this. When they're talking about trackables and it becomes a hitchhiker that is carried from cache to cache, that is, have you guys ever gotten the bug, no pun intended, when it comes to...
Travel bug?
I'm just saying. We'll leave it at there, family show. We'll keep it right there. Right on the cusp, and we'll cut it right there. If you go through, did you ever get so interested in certain trackables when they go from geocache to geocache, you just had to watch the whole adventure of what they've done? Have you ever gotten that much where you just had to pull out the map and see where it's going? Because the whole beauty of trackables is that when you go to geocaching.com, each one has its own individual page, and on that page is a map, and it actually literally shows from drawing lines from one geocache to the next, and you get to see where it went or it has been. And there's a bunch of them that I've had that I've just absolutely got put on the watch list and absolutely had to watch as they went from one place to the next. How about you guys?
Yeah, there's some of them there that are just really good that I still watch because they're really good, and a lot of them are some of the classic ones that have been around for a while. Some of them are really creative, and some have a lot of pictures that are attached to them. I like to watch the ones that people have a tendency to, you know, to mark not only, you know, where it's been going, but kind of share a photo log, because I like to, you know, I like to live vicariously through the pictures. And I'm sure that as a trackable owner as well, they like to see that as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's one of the big pictures. I mean, my girls, when they saw what the trackables do, we put some out for them, and they loved it when they got a picture of seeing where they've been and the people that they, you know, were traveling with, and, you know, it was really cool every time they got a log to where, hey, look at where it's been. It's been, you know, here and here, and look, they just got a new picture uploaded with them, and, you know.
So on it goes.
It was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've got quite a few. Matter of fact, most of them are way more well-traveled than I'm ever going to be. You know, so like you said, vicariously, the one that I did for my daughter, Wolfgang von Pitterpat, was a little penguin.
Oh, and, yeah, your yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and this one, you know, it was featured in a article on Leave No Trace. The military got involved. It has been to the Antarctic. It has been to the Arctic. It's been all over the world. And, you know, and you get the pictures, and to sit there to see this little guy on a military transport plane in the Antarctic looking out the window at the ice, it's like, wow, where do you get a chance to see that? Yeah, cool stuff. Speaking of travel bugs, travel bug is a trackable that has a special tag that it gets attached to it. And what that basically means is you can literally take pretty much any item. Hopefully common sense come into play, but you know darn well it doesn't always. And when you attach this tag with a GC or a trackable code to it, it magically becomes a travel bug. And now this item, whatever it is...
So the crap that's sitting in your drawer...
Yes.
You add something to it.
Exactly. You put a $5 tag on it, and you send it on its way.
Because you know you can't sell $5. Don't steal someone's travel bug.
We already talked about this. We discussed this rant already.
Numerous times.
Sometimes people become very... personally involved with their trackables. And
don't put something out.
Let it go. Go. Let's sing from Frozen.
You're going to be obsessed about
it. Let it go.
I'm looking in the chat room. We're losing people, Scott.
Uh-oh. That's scary. Wow.
Yeah, one of the best things to do when creating a trial bug, in my opinion, is to
make it not desirable to keep. So you've got a matchbox car, drill a hole through it.
Yes, I am a complete advocate for this.
Through the hole.
Yes, yeah. And don't use the little chain that comes with the travel tag. Get a heavy-duty one. Go to spend a buck, get the one that clamps, and just it's not going anywhere, and go that way.
Or you get those little cable ones that screw together on the end. Put a little bit of Loctite or super glue in there.
There you go.
It's done.
Yeah, or just plain weld it. Hey, whatever works. Just get it solid. I'm just saying.
Make it nice and annoying for the person to grab.
Exactly. Make
no fun. But no fun to carry.
That's the interesting thing about travel bugs, though. They can be anything. I still have in my closet that I've had for 3.5 years now, 4 years.
Dude, I told you to ship it to me.
It's a canoe whore.
Ship it to me.
I've got a bowling ball and a bowling pin out in my garage that
The least you could do is give us the GC code.
I'll have to get it for next show and pull it out for you guys.
Hey, now.
I couldn't hit the button quick enough. There we go.
I brought a refrigerator door travel bug back from the block party in 2011 to Houston drop it off. At another geocacher's door, who is the owner? His wife was pissed.
I give it back to him. That's great.
I love it. I love
it. I returned.
Last block party, it was nasty because, I mean, I've seen some pretty bad ones, and I've seen a radiator trackable before. But the one at this last block party, it was picked up out of the nastiest, grungiest, just scrapyard. Because it was, I mean, you looked at it, you got dirt on your fingers. If you put it in your trunk, and you were going to get filthy. I mean, it was so gross.
Why would somebody do that? I mean, I know about what are those Christmas? I'm sorry, Scott. What about those Christmas gifts they call the white? What is it? A white horse? What's the ones that
white
you,
elephant gifts?
White elephant gifts.
What is this Christmas you speak of?
These people gather around a tree and they give gifts to each other.
I don't recall that. I don't know what you're talking about.
While watching movies in church.
Yes. And now Blade Runner.
Dude, they rented the most Ark on church on Sunday. It was awesome. You totally missed it.
But they gouge you on the popcorn. I'm just telling you. Anyways.
I got a popcorn maker.
Anyways.
Continue with the travel bugs. We're totally getting off.
Yes,
and
I know.
How am I the one that's actually railing this in?
Yes. So for somebody to do white elephant type travel bugs, I'm just saying, shame on you. It's something. Similar to travel bugs is geocoins, and geocoins. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're at. There might be some around somewhere. I'll look. But I'm just saying.
You mean in your inventory or in your collection?
Yes, and we'll talk about the difference of that in a little bit. But geocoins are special coins with the same travel bug type codes associated to them. They have their own geocaching page, just like a travel bug does, except they are coins. And it's the same thing. You get a map. They move around from geocache to geocache. You get variances from coins that are about, I don't know, about the size of a half dollar or so up to big ones. I mean, there's four... Damn it. Shoot. Just saying. It's going to be one of those shows that I get deal with it. Just deal with it. Large coins do. I'm just saying.
Wow. Big coins.
Big ones.
Corey loves the big ones.
I'm not even going to bother. All right. So anyways, geocoins work very similar. A lot of those are a lot more personalized. You know, usually it's a function or it's an organization or individual geocacher, that type of thing, as opposed to, you know, 8 pieces of stuff that was laying around for travel bugs.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. It seems coins people put a lot more effort into. It's a lot more cost involved.
Yes.
Than just
very much cost involved.
Travel bug.
Yeah, and people have asked in the past, where do you get geocoins from? And there's several different places. A lot of the stuff you can get at events. You can buy online. Several of our sponsors has geocoins that they sell. You can get them from other geocachers that have them made and either trade or buy off of.
Or you can go to eBay and buy them too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you'd be surprised how much.
Oh yeah.
There is. Let me see. Which one is it?
Some are unactivated. Some are activated. So be careful.
Yes, be very careful on that. One of the ones that I have up here is one of the dragon ones that I've seen on eBay go for $85. So I mean, you can some of the ones you collect, they can have some value to it.
Yeah.
All right. Difference between collection and inventory. Now, if you go to your geocaching page, let's say, for example, you find a geocoin or a travel bug in a cache. That goes into your inventory. So what happens is there's two categories that you can have for collectibles. You can have it either in your collection or in your inventory. If it's in your inventory and you mark your geocache that you found it, there's a spot that will show up of all your travel bugs and trackables in the inventory that you can then place into a geocache and go that way.
Mm-hmm.
Collections are like what you see behind me. This is ones where you can't really, they can only be discovered. You can't move them from geocache to geocache. So there's a difference between the two. And a lot of times people ask the main difference.
Yeah, mainly with your collection. You want to, right, collection, right? Yeah, your collection, you want to put your car tag on there. You want to put your, if you have a tattoo of one, you want to throw that in your collection, not in your inventory, because if you put it in your inventory, someone's going to take your, leg.
Yeah.
They're going to take it with them.
Place
it in another cache.
They literally can do a grab.
Yeah, so you want to make sure you have a body one or you have one, you know, attached to your car. You want to make sure you throw that in your inventory.
Yeah.
You can only discover it.
Yeah, and I would put other...
back a few times.
What's that?
I had to grab my car back a few times. I'll steal my car.
See, yeah. Corey is absolutely guilty of it, as you can see. Chad is absolutely guilty of it, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so the main thing, if you've got like a T-shirt... anything like that, if they get your number at an event, they literally can do a grab if it's in the inventory, and then you got to go find it.
The shirt. Yeah, shirts too. Yeah, make sure you
Yeah, there's that. Name tags, shirts. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Anything you don't want to lose, throw in your collection.
Yes, otherwise it mysteriously disappears in the ether, and you have to go find it. It's not easy, I'm just saying.
And another thing, when you're creating a geocoin or trackable to travel, you want to make it non-collectible.
Yes.
So people don't take it and then move it to their collection.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that's the other distinction. I didn't want to confuse people too much. There's collectible and non-collectible.
Really?
Yes, there is. That was the olden days.
Okay.
When you create it, you have an option of making it collectible or not.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
It's a lot easier now between the inventory. I think they've kind of condensed it a little better for between inventory and collection to kind of take over that for you. All right. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Let's see. Just a thought. Now, one of the things that I was going to throw in out, and that just didn't come out right. Just a thought with this.
Redefining out geocoins?
No. No. Believe me, no. But there's a difference nowadays between what they define as trackables, and one of the things that I wanted to think of for a redefinition is for all the stuff that we just talked about: T-shirts, the car tags, the name tags, any other item with a trackable code. I mean, they're out there everywhere. I've got a Leatherman with a trackable number on it. I mean, there's all sorts of different things that are on there. If you've got something that goes from geocache to geocache, that actually I think should be redefined now as travelers, something that goes from geocache to geocache that has a ID code number should be called travelers.
Okay.
And everything that does not go from geocache to geocache be called trackables. Because it seems to make sense to me for that. That it just, for travelers, it means they're moving. They're going from place to place. Everything else is personal items, you know, that type of thing. Those should be trackables. What do you think?
I mean,
is it worth merit?
I'd send it in to Jeremy, see what he thinks.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'd get an answer.
Give him a call.
I got his number right here. I'll give him a buzz. If I could have the hook on my phone to the board, I'd do it right now.
I mean, Lord knows he won't stop texting me.
You too? I was going to say, geez, oh, Pete, I was going to put a restraining order on Brian for crying out loud. So I just kind of thought that it was some of the definitions for things, to put it all in one basket and call it trackable just doesn't seem to fit.
Well, but geocaching is known for that. Groundspeaks, you know, they're known for doing that. They do it all the time. Look at the puzzle cache.
Yes. Yeah. Or the nanos. I mean, come on. Categorization is not their best suit.
That's not a bad idea, trackable and traveler. It's not a bad idea at all because, like, yeah, like a walking stick is definitely, it's trackable, but it's not going anywhere.
All right. Going from cache to cache.
Right. Yeah, so it's not a bad idea.
All right. Well, just a thought. I just figured that would be worth thinking about for stuff like that. Now, some of the other game pieces we'll touch on as well. Path tags, for example. Now, path tags, which are these guys on both sides here, they're the size of a quarter. I have demonstration stuff all over the place. What can I say?
They're smaller than a quarter, aren't they?
Nope, they're exactly a quarter.
Really?
I get people, I swear, if there is a drinking question to get a drink from somebody, tell them that path tags are the size of a quarter because they go, no way.
I you could have bet me $10, I would have lost.
Yeah, yeah, and that's if you put them on, they're the same size.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. Get them out! I'm telling you, come on, get your path tags out.
Right now, it's like they look smaller.
Get
than
your
that.
Quarter and put it up. I'm telling you, that's what it goes. They're 1-inch diameter coin.
Coins are so big that you're so used to weird. You know, the quarter is the biggest coin, and yet it's the smallest.
Smallest of those. Yes. But they're signature items for geocachers. They are swag. They're meant to be kept by other geocachers if you find them in a geocache or at an event or what trading or what have you. Now, the difference between a path tag and a geocoin, each geocoin has its own individual code number that is specific for that code or for that coin. A path tag, you make 200, 300, 400 of a particular path tag, and there's one number associated to all the tags.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same number. So that way you can go through and actually, if you look at the map at pathtags.com, it shows where if you give somebody a path tag or they buy that path tag, it'll show on the map where they actually got the tag, as opposed to watching it go from geocache to geocache. Which is how those work. But they're swag, they're individual items, they're not trackable at geocaching.com, and yet those are one of the... if you go to any major event now, geocoins have moved kind of off to the sideline, and path tags are the place. That's where everybody trades.
Well, that's because, I mean, the path tag is a very personal thing, more than geocoins, I think. You know, path tag is like, if somebody has a path tag, you know, it's like, ooh, can I have your path tag?
There were people that made their own personalized geocoins that they did trade in, like, what's that? Geocoin Fest?
Yes, that would just happen.
I was just there.
Yeah. Yes.
But a path tag is a quarter of the price of creating a geocoin.
Yeah, if you go through standard, and then people ask, well, how much do geocoins cost? The actual press work, the minting part of it, is what's most expensive of it, and I think the average is at least $5-6 a coin, depending on how much. If you have the cash to make 2,000-3,000 coins. Mm-hmm. It might drop down a buck or so, but $5.
I had a buddy who spent $1,200 on his coin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's insane. Didn't have a buddy who spent a couple hundred dollars on his Pathag.
Yeah, exactly. You can get a starter kit of 50 from Taft Tags and cost you $99. And then if you actually remint them, they're like a buck a tag.
Right.
Yeah. So for signature items, I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, a buck a tag's nothing.
No.
But, yeah, definitely collectible, and a lot of people like collecting Pathag. They just all over the place. That's kind of the signature thing to, hey, you got a Pathag?
Right. There you go. Right. I know. I never. Everybody always wants to give me one. I don't have one to give back. I'm like, I don't have one to give back, but I'll take yours if you want to give it to me.
Well, it's like anything else with geocaching. You're either into it or you're not. And if it's your cup of tea, I mean, I've gone to events and people have tackle boxes, literally jumbo-sized tackle boxes with all the compartments filled with different path tags in them that they're ready to trade at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
And go that way. So it's huge for something like that. Other things that you'll find as game pieces, and this is I got from Geo Woodstock, are tags. And there's several different kind of tags. Different sponsors have like Cashkins, Wild Ones. You'll get specially made ones. There's Coins and Pins had a whole flag, state flag collection. And basically what it is it's an item of choice, whatever they're using with it, and again, it has a travel code that's associated to it.
Yeah, like I got one. There's my
HQ.
My HQ one. Yeah.
Yep.
That's trackable.
Yep. It is, right? And these are hitchhikers as well. You can either make this. You can attach this to an item and send it out its way like you would like any other travel bug with it, or you can hook it on with another travel bug that already exists and just have it become a hitchhiker and go that way.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
Those are like the really thin. I mean, you could easily bend that. I mean, and it's like are they called Cashkins? Is that
Yeah, Cashkins is one that Cash Advance has.
Is that only Cash Advance that has those?
Yeah, Cash Advance has Cashkins. GX Proxy has Wild Ones. And then Coins and Pins has a whole bunch of different type of tags that they do with theirs as well.
Is there a term for it, or is there no term?
Not,
like
they just a tag. Just tags.
Just a stackable tag.
Yeah.
So the lucky coins kind of fall into that category as well.
The lucky coins,
Yep, absolutely. So there's tons of those that are out there that are available. And if you see one and you're not sure, now that's why we're doing the definitions on here. The final one that we'll go over real quick is under what I officially refer to as the hitchhiker's definition. And that's something that is called geofleas. And geofleas have no tracking number on them whatsoever. The idea is if you put one, you find a track, travel bug and you attach a geofleas to it, you put on the watch list whatever that travel bug is, and you find it, follow it going that way, and you can actually have other people. I guess the trend, what they wanted to do is have trackables eventually having just all sorts of these geofleas attached to it, little parasitic geocoin pieces.
Was that the goal?
And then that way you would see them. Yeah, and you can actually, you can go to geofleas.com.
That's fleas with a Z.
With correct. A Z, correct.
Yeah. Right.
And it attaches to any other geocache game piece. And and you just let that go and follow vicariously through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing with that is you can make personalized ones as well.
So right, but those weren't untrackable in any way, correct?
No trackable with that way. They just attach to the other.
Yeah, just attached to something.
And away it goes.
Yeah.
All right. All right, that's all the fun stuff that that I've got for all this. Any other?
That's all we got for. That's all the trackables there are.
That's pretty much it, unless you can think of anything else that goes through it.
No, that's really about it. That's
Is that your puppy, Taz?
Yeah, somewhere.
Has he grown? It's been a couple of months since I've seen him. Has he grown?
Oh yeah, he's grown a lot.
He's like Clifford now.
Yeah. It's not like woof, woof,
woof.
He's still pretty much a punter.
Wow. All hate mail said to
not so
just go
anymore,
to our website and look up Taz. I'm just saying.
He had the snip snip last week.
Oh,
bastard.
Just saying. Poor little guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Boy. Well, thanks for bringing us down. That's just great. Yeah,
way to end it on a downer.
Wow. And now we'll kick the puppy. Yay. All right. Well, we'll just end it at that and hope for the best and wait for PETA to call Taz. Anyways.
call Taz.
Yes. And by the way, you can get all our emails on our website. Just go to geocachingpodcast.com.
Bob Barker would be very pleased to be happy.
Jeez.
He approves. Bob Barker approves.
We'll leave that out. So, hey, folks, thanks so much for stopping on by. We appreciate it. Thank you to having the whole gang here for Scott, Corey, and Taz. Thank you so much. Except for Taz, the puppy kicker. We'll just talk to him later. I believe the term punt was used.
You can geocache. You can change your geocaching name into puppy kicker.
They're the size
still available.
Yeah, you just feel like you use them as a football.
It's probably
now,
still there.
Puppy kicker
still
would
available.
Never do.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there.
You backtracking now?
I was going to see backpedaling. Like, I don't kick puppies for real. Really? All right. Well, thank you, folks, for stopping on by. I'm pushing this little button over here before we get into more trouble. Just saying. Thank you, fine folks, for stopping on by and subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you to cache-advance.com for everything you do. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production. It is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, Chad Courtney, the puppy kicker. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved. All hate mail to Chad. Have a good one, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye, folks.
Oh.